it spin?
They were too advanced for him. His earth brain couldn't tell. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson. Is this program a third over already?
We
haven't even done anything. We just said Booba Shabaya and talked about snakes.
That's all it takes.
That really is our whole show every day in one form or another. 503-733-2970. Listen to that thump. Talk radio that booms, kids. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up later on... wait, hold on. Is this Baumgarten? Is that 1:30 or 2? Because it was either one, really. It was a 2? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up at 2 o'clock, we're going to talk to Gary Baumgarten about Boy George, who's picking up trash in the sun in New York City. What else? Peter Carlin from the Oregonian is going to join us at 2:30. And we've got Tim Riley at the City Desk we'll be getting to. I'll try to get to that worst song. That may or may not actually happen. Stormwatch. Such a negative Nelly. And Stormwatch. Stormwatch is kind of on her. Can I just tell you that there's someday, and I don't mean to be this guy. I don't mean to be the guy who, as we always talk about, I don't mean to be like that guy who writes for Page Six, the New York Post. That's a whole lot of like, I was at lunch with someone who you would all know, and they went to the bathroom and came back with heroin all over their face. Like, I can't tell you who it is, but you'd know. I hate to do that. I will simply say this, that someday when all of this Rockstar Supernova business is finished and done, someday when Rockstar Supernova is over and done and the contractually mandated period of silence has lapsed, there's going to be so many great stories that we're going to be telling on this program. So it's not like I'm never going to tell you. It's not like you're not going to hear them. You can't hear them right now, some of them, because we don't want to screw up anything for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just us. It's not on us. It's kind of other people who have things at stake. So we have to be very respectful of what people ask us not to say. But I'm telling you this. Someday.
When you least expect it.
Someday. Yeah, it's going to be a while. But someday, you're going to hear some of the best Rockstar Supernova stories on this program. I'm telling you, man. From the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let us now welcome... Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me find the music. That's totally on me. That is completely my fault. And I have nothing. Nothing! Yeah, wait. And, no. I'm attempting to locate that. Well, we'll just... All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. for no readily apparent reason.
That's what the cars look like out here.
Thanks for tying it in. See, there you go. You make it all work. You make it applicable. Nanette Sosa joining us now from Haifa, Israel. How are you, Nanette?
I'm fine. I'm alive. I'm still alive.
Well, there you go. So just mentally interject, like mentally infer the staying alive music. So you are there, and now let me just get right to the chase here. This is what CNN is reporting, that there is a UN-brokered ceasefire that took effect Monday morning. But they've been going at this solid for almost, a month and a half now, right? I mean, they've done a lot of damage before this.
Yeah. 30-plus days. Let's just say some people hadn't seen daylight. They'd been in bomb shelters.
And the UN stepped in, and now here's a dumb question, though, which is that it doesn't really seem... The UN gets a lot of flack for being so impotent and ineffectual and just having no real power to do anything. What did the UN offer to whom to get this ceasefire? Like, what did the UN offer each side? Or how did they make this happen?
Well, did they make it happen? What the offering here is having some multi-international forces along with allowing Lebanese military to guard their own border. So that was kind of, here, you can watch your own border. That's about the biggest piece of the pie there. And then for Israel to move on out. But it gets complicated, too, because there's these farms that border Syria and Lebanon, and those are Israeli-controlled. So there's that question. And then there's the question about Hezbollah. Where are their weapons? So, are they going to just turn them in, line up and turn them in? So have people seen the weapons being turned in? So there's that question.
Now, when they
That's why it was a little bit fragile.
When they talk about this being a ceasefire, it does seem like their choice of verbiage is very telling in that it's not... It's not a surrender. It's not a, they have not brokered a peace as such. I mean, even the very lexicon that they're using, their choice of words seems to imply that everyone on every side recognizes that these hostilities will undoubtedly resume at some point, whether it's the near future or whether it is the more distant future. That this really is just a momentary break in the fighting. Yeah, that's all it is. And either side at any given time could just have a bad day and decide that they're going to...
There could be that loophole, and let me give you an example of the loophole. This ceasefire is signed, and I was thinking, okay, well, that's between them. No sooner was I thinking that than the Palestinians fired rockets over to Haifa. And I'm like, that's the loophole. They forgot to include the Palestinians over there. You know, before I was looking to the north, now I got to start looking to the east and to the west, and here come rockets that direction.
Really, I mean, we are a nation and a country and a world in which walls, physical walls, I mean, sort of always come up as the final solution to anything. You know, China wants to keep the Mongols out, so they put up a huge, you know, they put up the wall of China. And here in the United States, Jim Roop from CNN has been talking about this wall that they want to put across the border to keep out Mexican illegals from coming in, et cetera, et cetera. We're very much... So here's what I think we have to do. I think that the rest of us, meaning all of the rest of the world, the people who are not currently... the people who are not physically embroiled in the Mideast process, we all ought to really quietly sometime in the dead of night pack up our stuff, grab a duffel bag, and then the rest of us ought to just build a huge wall around the Mideast in total, sort of like an Escape from New York kind of a thing. That's what it is, man. And just give them like a day's warning and be like, look, anybody here by the end of next week is just going to be locked in here. And we're just going to put up a whole wall around the Middle East. And then we're going to be like, there you go. You know, there you go. Thank now you. It's like putting kids inside a pen so that if they throw toys, they don't hit anybody else.
I don't know what it is they're asking for. I would think Hezbollah would like to run Lebanon. I would think that would be the big goal, the big scheme of things. I haven't heard anybody say that. But, you know, if I'm going to start firing missiles and so forth, it's usually because I want to get something. Yeah. And that would be a piece of land in this case.
Look, I mean, I hate to be so cynical about this, but it's just a bunch of people that are never, ever, ever, ever going to get along. Ever. There is no pot of gold at the end of this particularly violent rainbow. It's just not ever going to happen.
There isn't. There really isn't. And it's always going to be something else, something more, or a new group.
Yeah. So I think that what I'm going to do...
The London terror. That wasn't and the commotion that caused for all those travelers.
I think that what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a new approach to it. And my new approach is going to be, as of now, I think I'm just going to stop caring. I think I'm just going to take a vacation from my principles and empathy and just not care for a while and see how that works out for me.
You can vacation in Haifa. It's cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Then I'll go to Cambodia right after that. I'll make a whole tour of it. All right. Well, are you safe at the moment, though? So your safety has improved for you, I would imagine, though.
Except yesterday, I actually got to witness a missile falling into the ocean, and I was really wowed by it. I wouldn't be telling you this had it fallen on the hotel, obviously, but it fell into the ocean, and it was incredible. I was like, oh, they missed. But anyway,
Are you taking photographs of this stuff? Because
yes, I did. I did take pictures. Why? Do you guys have a web thing?
Absolutely, and I mean this quite sincerely. It is. I don't mean to sound morbid about this, but let's speak together. We can speak honestly as adults. This is. It is fascinating stuff to be speaking to someone. And I was talking to Sarah, my producer, about this, and she and I have toyed about whether even to mention this. But clearly, yeah, we're all adults. This is something you're aware of, that it is very surreal in some ways. First with Lisa Goddard, and now you, Nanette Sosa, you were over there in Israel, that to be speaking to you every day and knowing that there are weapons being launched in your general direction. It is a very, surely more surreal for you and frightening for you than for us, but very strange regardless.
Well, what I didn't understand, and I don't know how this one got past me, but I was watching the one in the water, and apparently one landed even closer to me, and I looked from, you know, have you ever looked like through a chain link fence, and the chain link fence looks close, and then the field looks far away, kind of a weird kind of vision thing, and I looked down, and I'm going, oh no, I said, there's one, like, across the street. If you opened your front door and you looked at your neighbor's house across the street, that's where this one landed. And so it was a big plume of smoke, fires going on, cars are popping all over the place, and I'm like, how did I miss that one? And I saw afar to the one land in the water, but anyway, I could smell that one.
Now that there's a ceasefire, how are they going to keep you there, or are you going to be coming back to the U.S., or what's your deal now?
We go up to the border now. We're going to Matula. When that sounds special.
When you finally leave the Mideast and you go back to, you know, the subway, when you go back to somewhere where they're not trying to kill it, everybody's not trying to kill each other, are you going to have a hard time adjusting to the lack of explosions, do you think?
I don't know. You know what? Like, I'm going to have to go through therapy. I'm going to have to call your show to be reminded. Will you remind me of this?
Absolutely.
Was I nuts?
you have carte blanche, my friend. So, all right. Ninette Souza, be safe. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. CNN's CNN radio correspondent Ninette Souza there in Haifa, Israel.
She's starting to have some fun over there.
I think that she's just reached a point where she's like, what can you do? You know, we forgot to remind her, though, to send us pictures. Tomorrow, we talk to her tomorrow, or maybe I'll just have Scotty do that anyway, to have you give her the email address. Ladies and gentlemen, at the city desk, Tim Riley's the Ministry of Truth.
From highest out the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley reporting. This comes to us from The Sun, which is the world's best tabloid.
I thought you meant the planet for a minute. It's just sort of a...
It comes to us from
The Sun.
Hate-filled mums willing to sacrifice themselves and their babies are being hunted in the war on terror.
Fantastic.
Security sources confirmed last night that the alleged baby bombers were among those arrested after the plot to massacre thousands by downing transatlantic flights. The discovery prompts fears that they are fanatical mothers in secret Al-Qaeda cells in Britain, ready to become suicide bombers and to die with their tots in arms. It's a new... Well, these are the new baby boomers, apparently.
Baby bombers. That's fantastic. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at children exploding, but that's baby boomers. So, just so we could claim
that worth waiting an hour for?
Yeah, it really was.
Well done,
Tim Riley.
I tried.
Match been set and whatever they say. So what is the deal that they're afraid that Islamic whatever,
yeah,
angry people, that they're going to get on a plane with the baby as cover?
Yeah.
So what, that the missile, the bomb would be inside the baby or something?
Well, they'll have to leave all babies in a barrel before you get on the plane.
Have to sell the babies.
That would be great.
Babies will have to just go, babies will have to be put down there with the cats and the guinea pigs in that little, in the cargo hold. That would be great.
And the canned cheese whiz.
I would actually pay more for that. I would pay more to fly if I was guaranteed. Why don't they offer that already? Doesn't it seem like they really ought to offer a baby-free flight?
I think so.
For, you know, like, who among us would not pay an extra 5% to fly on a plane that had no babies on it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd be all over that. All right, so coming soon, no babies in the plane anywhere. Fantastic.
No babies on the plane. That's a new movie.
Good news.
Thanks on the plane. Well, Boy George is not singing today. He was cleaning. He started his week-long community service. Throngs of photographers gathered around him as he swept the streets of Lower Manhattan, and the boy was impressed by all the attention.
What? Okay.
He was impressed by the turnout.
Oh, okay, all right. Do we have any of him snapping?
We don't.
Because I know at a certain point he was like, sawed off! You know, and he just... Have you seen the photographs of him picking up trash? Oh, it's just fantastic. It's so great.
He's wearing an orange vest, dark capri pants, shoes without socks, and without the wild makeup, and his androgynous style.
Shoes without socks. What is this world coming to? Mm-hmm. And of course, he's all bald and whatnot. He's bald. You know what he looks like? He's turned sort of into like Bob Hoskins. As he's gotten older?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or who is that other? He looks like someone, and I can't quite put my finger on who it is. As George Michael has aged, Boy George has aged, he's turned into, who is it? There's somebody else. Anyway, but anyway, he's out there in the sun, and the throngs of reporters are surrounding him as he's, like, bending over picking up trash. And at a certain point, I forget what it was, he just snapped, though, at one point.
He said, quote, "You think you're better than me? Go home. Let me do my community service. This is supposed to make me humble. Let me do this. I just want to do my job."
It's pretty great, actually. It's like him and like 80 reporters watching him pick up gum wrappers. It really is. It really is the press in action.
Then he approached the fence and asked for a cigarette and light from one of the news photographers. Sanitation police officer. Apparently, this is a separate precinct. Sanitation police officer Albert Durrell says Boy George's assignment was changed for his own safety.
I saw that he had no breathing room. I was concerned for his safety because of his celebrity status and the safety of the personnel he was working with.
And he arrived ready to get the job done.
He looked like he was ready to work. He was here to work. Everything seemed like a normal day.
Yeah, there's some joke there, but... Do you really karma something? I don't know what it is. There's some pun that I will leave that to lesser radio programs. All right, there you go.
I have two Tom Cruise-related stories.
Fantastic. Do I have... We never did get a cruise watch, did we?
We did not, no.
No, okay. Well, I got
none. Scotty didn't make one?
Scotty, did you ever make a cruise watch? I'm looking at the Scotty, the not yet. All right, well, let me find...
Shame on him.
Oh, so let me see if I can, how about, let's see, how about this?
Let's go!
Hey! And...
Got any romance in your life at the moment, David?
Pardon me?
Any romance in your life?
No romance in my life. I'm romancing my daughter.
There you go.
Well, Siri's been spotted again, this time by an actual civilian.
Mm-hmm.
The mysterious daughter of Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes made an appearance at a recent birthday party in L.A.
How would you even know, though, if it was really Suri? It could be a stunt baby at this point. You wouldn't...
I am all about the stunt baby.
You...
That's why they're waiting.
Shabaya.
Yeah.
We would have no idea, correct? Because no one's... Like, how long has it been since the baby was born?
4 months? Three or four months?
I don't really know. That's the other thing, is no one even really knows, because there was all that business... And Sarah, you're at the forefront of cruise news. There was that business with the birth certificate and a doctor who...
There was no doctor present, and the birth certificate wasn't signed until 2 weeks after the baby was actually born. It was signed by a nurse practitioner who wasn't in the room when it was born.
So no one...
And there's a witness, and nobody can tell who it is because it's the signature, you can't...
So no one is actually on record... How do I put this? No one who's actually on record saw the baby, and no one who saw the baby is on record.
Yes.
It's like the moon landing of childbirth.
It really is. And that was like 4 months ago, but again, I swear that there were photographs after the purported birth that where Katie Holmes looked like she was still pregnant, and I know that it takes you a while to lose all of the whatever you accumulate down there, but she still looked... So I think people are still unclear about when the baby was born, and... They've had 4 months. You could find a stunt baby in 4 months.
Totally.
You could...
I think they've just been killing time to find the perfect stunt baby, since they've already said the hair color.
Right.
They seem to find a baby with a dark, curly hair.
Buy $1.99 store and wrap it in a blanket. Instant Surrey.
The real Surrey's in a steamer trunk somewhere. All right.
Well, apparently, this child turned up at a recent birthday party in Los Angeles. We're roller skating... roller skating. The kid's already roller skating for Jaden Smith, the son of Jada Pinkett and Will Smith. The anonymous source says, Sari, quote, is a beautiful baby. She has no deformities that I could see.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what it says. A beautiful baby. She has no deformities that I could see.
It's of regulation size.
She has a gorgeous...
And no deformities.
She has a gorgeous head full of dark, curly hair, and she resembles both parents, although she looks slightly...
Is this like Mad Libs or something? Everyone says the same thing. It is a normal baby. It is of size. All fingers accounted for. Has regulation hair.
So the question is, every kid's birthday party has a cameraman, or several, and it seems on absolutely no photos who surface from their party. Secondly, why is there only one source claiming to have seen Siri?
Why do they all say the same goddamn thing? I don't even care! And it's making me care. Jesus. All right. Nick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Is this a man or a woman? Hello.
Maybe both. You don't know.
It says Nick, but there's... Oh, okay. Nick. Okay, this is like short for... Nikki.
N-I-K-K-I.
Nicholas. Yeah.
Nicole. Okay. Hello, Nick. How are you?
I am fine. But right now I'm in St. John's, the place that smells extremely weird.
I'm sorry. Do you live there?
Yes, I do, unfortunately.
Oh, see, I was all prepared for you to say no, and then I was going to go, well, at least that's something, but sorry. That's okay. What's up?
Well, actually, I was listening to the show on Friday, and I heard about you losing your truck again.
It wasn't really losing. Losing is sort of when you...
Misplaced.
Losing is when you set down your car keys somewhere and you can't quite remember where. This was sort of a, what's the word, stolen...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my truck was, so I can't really make fun of St. John's too much because the second time my truck has been stolen. My truck was stolen about 8 months ago from in front of my house, and then on Thursday night, Friday morning sometime, my truck was stolen from in front of my wife's place of business, yes.
Wow.
It's almost hard to believe you're calling from St. John's.
You're going to close a window and stop inhaling that air.
So are you just calling to find out the status of my truck, Nick?
Yes.
My truck is still gone. It is still gone.
Those bastards.
Bastards. Here's the thing. The good thing about this, though, is at least they didn't steal the other vehicle. Because this way I was able to just call the cops and go, hi, it's me. No, it's No, it's, yeah, stolen again. No, it's all the same information. You know, nothing's changed. Same, you know, they already had it all on file. The last time, the truck was gone for about 3 days. They found my truck last time it was stolen, about 3 days later, and apparently what these thieves do, and it's they as with everything, they blame it on meth, and who knows if that's true or not, but they apparently they just sort of daisy chain it, where it's like they'll steal a car, drive it for a couple days, dump it, and steal, because they always find the car abandoned, and then about a block later, another car gone. So they'll drive it for a couple days, dump it, steal another one. Drive it out for a couple days, dump it, steal another one. And so the theory is that in a few days, this will just turn up ditched somewhere, you know, like in Felony Flats or something. But one hopes, anyway.
Huh. Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so there you go. And that's about that. All right. Nick, we're losing your phone. Okay. Yeah, it looks like we're all... No, sorry. No. All right.
She lost consciousness.
I'm sorry. Here's Tim Riley, the City Desk.
Well, imagine getting an automobile accident and having Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes comfort you. That's what happened to a couple driving to California Saturday night.
Planted story.
Cruise and Holmes are heading back to Los Angeles from a trip to Utah when they came upon an accident that just occurred. The famous couple pulled over and got out to check on a husband and wife involved in... These are such generous people.
This is a planted story.
In a very small town out in the middle of nowhere, where UFOs usually land, according to a rep for Cruise and Holmes, they stayed on the scene until police and fire units showed up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, by the way, the story is undated. It doesn't seem to come from anywhere.
Really? Behold my surprise. That's amazing. So let me understand this. Just as they are generating reams and reams and reams of, and I like to say the word reams, of negative publicity, suddenly a mysterious, undated news story appears wherein Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, who are, by the way, not really seen together in public all that much, are spotted helping people by the side of the road.
Somewhere between Los Angeles and Utah.
Okay, so on an unknown piece of road, somewhere within... Because Los Angeles and Utah, that's how... How far is that? How many miles is that between Utah? I've done that drive, but I'm terrible at distances.
Over 1,000.
I mean, yeah, it's like 1,400 miles or something. So somewhere on like 10 feet of a 1,400-mile stretch of road, on some date that can't be discerned or determined, they did something good for some people who we can't find. Okay.
No word on whether baby Sari was with them when they comforted this couple.
Yes. Okay. Shall we break here? All right. Take a break. Here's... The hell? What are we doing? Oh, we got the CNN radio correspondent. I had the CNN thing, but I couldn't find Gary Baumgarten's going to come up here in a few minutes. He is coming up, rather. We'll talk to him about Boy George, who's picking up traffic in New York. Later on, we have...
He said picking up traffic.
Did I say traffic? Well, he's probably doing that, too. Hi, sailor. Picking up trash in New York. Later on, we have Peter Carlin and our Storm Watch. You don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson show right here on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Why, welcome. Tires, Cadillacs, hillbilly music. The only thing that keeps me hanging on. The Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be interviewing blah, 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 the guy who directed Snakes on a Plane. We're going to be giving away tickets as well. It is Snakes on a Plane week here at the Rick Emerson Show. We have tickets we're going to be giving away. We got to talk about that here in a while, too, because I got nothing. I have no idea how to give them away. I have no means nor machination by which to do it. So we'll talk about that. Coming up on, Thursday, we're doing the Snakes on a Plane screening, 10 p.m. Century 16 Eastport up there on, 82nd. It's 503-733-2970. Sean Couples, engineer here, we were just out in the hallway, and he actually brought up a great point about the Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes supposedly helping somebody on the road on an indeterminate stretch of highway on a day that isn't apparently clarified by the article, in a story that doesn't at all look like a plant put there to counter negative publicity. Sean noted, why would they be driving anyway and not flying? And, of course, the answer is to show that they're just like us, really. They're not so different, even though they're celebrities. We're really all very much the same. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now go to the City Desk for Tim Riley, who is at the Ministry of Truth.
From Pirate of the One of the Coin Tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. A Vancouver woman woke up at 1:30 this morning and found a strange man leaning in her window, and he touched her.
Yeah. Oh.
The woman lives on the ground floor of the Evergreen Park Apartments on Northeast 49th, where apparently they have vacancies.
I was just going to say, where apparently the windows aren't ever shut, so attention gropers.
Well, apparently the intruder ran away and fled on his bicycle. She then apparently doesn't have her phone, so she drove to a relative's house and called 911. She described the suspect as a white man. How did they ever find one in the couve? He's 6 foot tall, 200 pounds. Wearing a blue shirt, gray pants, and a backward baseball cap.
Sounds oh, like yeah,
a,
no, he'll stand right out there.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah, yeah, they won't have any trouble spotting that
anyone
guy.
Who has seen a white man in Vancouver is asked to call the police department. He may be touching you next.
And that's fantastic. Why would you ever leave your windows open if you lived in the couve? Especially,
I think she was asking for it.
That's Tim Riley who said that, by the way. I agree. Seriously, and let's also ask this question, which is undoubtedly...
She has no phone.
Phone? I have no phone. Hunted. Come on, that's funny.
It is.
I'm going to do it again.
No.
Phone? I have no phone. Oh, you bastards. I'm laughing for all of us here. I'm laughing inside. If you were going to grope a woman, why would you go to the couve? Of all the women and all the, whatever, the gin joints and all the, why would you pick a Vancouver woman to grope? I mean, I guess if it is a Vancouver woman, you can probably grope them from farther away.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a 21-year-old Eugene woman died from head injuries after she fell out of the back of a pickup truck. A passenger in the truck told police that Kelly Hover kneeled on top of the cargo toolbox in the bed of the truck before falling onto the freeway.
Hover? I barely knew her.
The driver, 21-year-old Jessica Tutt, turned around and went back to help the woman. Tutt called 911 when another passenger provided first aid. It wasn't Katie Holmes. Hover was pronounced dead at Eugene Hospital. Eugene police say those in the truck were returning from a night spot and have been drinking alcohol.
Oh, this really is kind of a Darwin watch, isn't it?
Sort of, isn't it?
Well, we'll do the Darwin close here, because there was drinking in the back of a pickup truck, mm-hmm. unsecured.
Yes.
And it was she leaning out of the truck?
She was stepping onto the toolbox.
To do what? While the truck was moving?
I guess so, yes.
To do what, do you suppose?
Maybe she was practicing for this ABC dance party, Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, maybe. Falling with the Stars. All right. Well, there you go. That's sort of an ad hoc. Let's close that. That's an ad hoc Darwin watch. There you go. There you go. Right here on the Rick Emerson Show on Monday.
Don't. Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Yeah. Good times. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Kate Moss is reportedly planning to marry Pete Doherty after he bought her a diamond engagement ring.
Man, the pattern is all so clear to me now. First Kobe, then George Michael, now Pete Doherty. Mm-hmm. If you just get caught doing something stupid in public and then you buy your significant other a huge rock. Isn't he the one who got caught tying some woman off in a bathroom?
Probably tying her to a railroad track or something.
Yes, while twirling his mustache.
Reaching into an open bedroom window to touch her.
No, allegedly while she was passed out.
But I mean, there are photos, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
Of Pete Doherty, and he's in like a public toilet somewhere. He's injecting her.
I don't remember it being in a public toilet. I think it was at his
private
house.
Toilet.
Maybe. I might be wrong about this. This is just all my recollection of this. But yeah, he's in some bathroom somewhere and he's like shooting up or something. All right. Well, there you go. And so he bought the, Kate Moss a big, what is it? He bought her a huge ring?
Yes, an engagement ring, a diamond.
It just mystifies me that Kate Moss is any man's dream woman. I mean, whatever. I mean, apparently she has no problem landing a guy. So, I mean,
have you seen this guy?
No. Is he a real looker, Pete Doherty? Oh, he's a singer, right?
Yeah, he's in this band, Baby Shambles. He's a terrible mess. He's just a total junkie, strung out, always just has like scars and scabs all over his face.
He's no Shane McGowan.
Yeah.
Have you seen a picture of Shane McGowan recently?
No.
From the Pogues? Oh, dude. If you ever want remember that picture of the woman that they pass around on the net sometimes where it's like the 10 years as a meth user? And it's like she goes from being sort of haggard to just being like a zombie. Mm-hmm. You, You go and you find yourself a current picture of Pogue's frontman, Shane McGowan. And then you ask yourself, why on earth would somebody sit around and do drugs a lot? If you ever want to see, like, why you should not develop a serious drug and drinking habit, as I'm no Puritan, I'm no prude. I'm just saying, if you want some evidence of what that sort of thing will do to you if you let it get out of hand, Shane McGowan is the perfect example of that. And just, and I mean, you sort of intellectually know that there are places in this world where they have bad dental hygiene, and perhaps tooth maintenance is not the... It's not the highest priority for people. Shane McGowan raises the bar, really, though, in terms of bad European teeth. I mean, it really is... It's not even of this world. It's not even human, his teeth. His teeth, they're like jackalope teeth or something that have been stuck into his mouth. And you know how, like, you'll see something on the Discovery Channel now and again about, like I was watching this documentary last night called Death Mountain, which is all about people who climb Mount Everest and die. And they were talking to this guy named Beck Weathers, who was a climber. And anyway, I do have a point here. But long story short, his nose froze off when he was on Mount Everest. And he came down, and he had no nose. Nose? I have no nose. But his nose was gone, and so he just had the little slits in the front like an Alien Gray. And they're like, Beckweather's nose had to be rebuilt out of pieces of his ear. And so they're like whittling bits of his ear away to build a new nose, right? Now, imagine that if there were 10 people, all of whom who had no nose. Imagine then if they weren't making those people's noses out of their ears, but out of Shane McGowan's gums. Imagine if Shane McGowan donated bits of his gums to 10 different people, enough for 10 noses. Mm. That's what his teeth look like now. That he opens his mouth, and it's a real big empty in there. There's just, like, a couple sort of whitish sort of stubs jutting out at all weird angles, and then, like, there's nothing pink left in his mouth at all. It's all just blackened and brown in there. It's sort of like his mouth looks like the inside of a spittoon. That's essentially what Shane McGowan's mouth looks like now. And he's living with Sinead O'Connor, I guess, for reasons that don't make any sense to me. So don't do drugs, kids. Here's Tim Riley.
Now, Paris Hilton got no love this week from her pet kinkajou. In fact, the raccoon-like animal bit her. The heiress was not badly hurt, but did visit a hospital emergency room in the middle of the night to get a tetanus shot. She was frolicking with her exotic pet named Baby Love.
And what kind of pet is that?
A kinkajou.
Jews. The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. Are you a Jew?
Well, Baby Love bit her. It's a superficial bite on her left arm. She was concerned about the nonstop bleeding, called the doctor at 3 a.m., who took her to the hospital.
How appropriate that she got a superficial cut.
Mm-hmm. She was given a tetanus shot. The wound was cleaned and something applied to it. She left the hospital at 5:30 a.m.
Something to apply to that. By the way, it should be noted that she didn't call a doctor. She called this guy, Elliot Mintz, who is her spokesperson. Now, you want to talk about your career trending downward. If the name Elliot Mintz sounds familiar, especially if you're over the age of 40, Elliot Mintz was the spokesperson for John Lennon and Yoko Ono. He is now the spokesperson for Paris Hilton. That is not an upward career spiral. Do I have now pictures of Shane McGowan? All right, let me find the worst picture I can possibly... Sarah, don't look at the screen yet. I want this just to catch you by surprise. We can just progress with the news here. I'm trying to find, like, the worst photo of Shane McGowan.
Well, Tucker Carlson and Jerry Springer will be among the celebrities competing in the third annual Dancing with the Stars.
I feel like I ought to be watching that show because the kids are watching it now. And I'm unclear about...
It's the most popular thing on the television.
Is it really?
I believe so, yes.
I was just talking to Joni about this yesterday, and I am going to talk to Peter Carlin about this, that... I guess it's too early for me to be having this conversation because it's sort of going to steal some of the thunder from the discussion later. But there is no longer, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but there is no longer one show that is just sort of watched by everybody, is there?
No.
I mean, it used to be that, like, you know, everybody on Monday was talking about whatever that was on Sunday, you know, Charlie's Angels, you know, MASH. These love Boat, big show, even like the 90210 era, there were shows that everybody watched. I would say the last show that that the whole country watched together,
yes,
The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But now it would be. I will make one exception. The exception is American Idol. Now we don't watch that, but I know that most people do. I know that is a show that you walk through the hallways on the Tuesday and Wednesday or Wednesday and Thursday, and everybody has watched American Idol. But I think other than that, there's nothing. I don't think there are any I don't believe there are any programs left that we watch, like, with any sort of unanimity. I just think that that time has passed. But this program, this and that America's Got Talent thing, which I also don't watch, but I get the feeling that those... Oh, here we go.
Scotty J watches.
Oh, this is pay dirt. Oh, yeah, look at the... Oh,
oh
yeah.
It's him just cringe.
See, you can't unsee that.
It's Mitchell Bickford's twin brother.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to... Okay, there you go. So I'm going to minimize that so I don't inadvertently look at it. This email, Sid knows of Shane McGowan's teeth. Hello, Sid?
Yeah.
You know about Shane McGowan's teeth?
Oh, yeah.
Listen to that. Oh, yeah. You don't even want to know about McGowan's teeth.
It was always, I remember 20 years ago, we always wondered who had the worst teeth, Joe Strummer or Shane. But,
yeah. Yeah, that contest is over.
Hoag's reunion tour, part of the money from that was sent aside by Shane some new bites there.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They said they were going to put some money aside from that tour.
Well, I can't even imagine that Shane McGowan could sing anymore. Would you
well,
be able to, a lot of,
part of the problem, he was having problems singing.
Will be a lot of whistling noises. I mean, it's...
You
the
know,
band played Waltzing Matilda.
How you tell he has a problem, I'm not sure, but...
Yeah. Yeah, because especially because he's looking, you know...
Lying down.
Well, yeah, well, and just Shane McGowan looks like he'll bite you with those things. They're not good for anything but biting strangers anymore. You know, Shane, about your teeth. Ah! You know, and then he's just really... And then he hits you with a bottle and then bites you. Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, bye.
Hey, Sarah, do you want to see Shane McGowan's teeth?
Yeah. Oh, not really, but...
Okay, hold on.
Show me.
Hold on. Close your eyes for a second.
Okay.
Okay, Tim, you got to look at this picture once more.
I can't, no.
No, come on, look once more.
Ah!
Oh, it's fantastic. All right, now, Sarah, you have to come over here. I'll let you in front of my microphone. And then I'm just going to bring the picture up. I'm just going to get your reaction live.
Okay.
Now, okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shane McGowan's teeth.
Oh, what is going on there?
Yeah.
Are those just the bottom ones?
I don't know.
Are they long? They're like an inch long.
He's long in the tooth.
I'm unclear about what's going on there.
Oh.
And I don't know. You're right. These are abnormally long, and then I'm not sure. Like, is it possible that the top ones just grew into the bottom ones?
Yeah, it looks like they kind of connected.
They're sort of
hair twin baby.
He just now has just sort of toothy stalagmites now, not actual teeth. All right, we'll post this later so you all don't feel left out. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Oh, did we finish with this Dancing with the Stars thing?
Probably not.
Anyway, also heading to the dance floor is Vivica the Fox, Harry Hamlin, Joe Lawrence.
Harry Hamlin? Well, first of all, did you say Tucker Carlson?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Jerry Springer.
Well, Springer I can see. Tucker Carlson, that just doesn't make any sense.
He took off his bow tie.
He's
100-year-old
wife. All right. Harry Hamlin?
Joe Lawrence, who I think used to be Joey Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, no, he's Joe.
But now he's an adult.
He's having respect now. It's like how MC Hammer, you know, he's just Hammer. Sarah, do you know who Harry Hamlin is?
Is he the tan guy?
No, he might be George Hamilton.
Okay, then no.
Okay. Harry Hamlin was on L.A. Law. Also, pleased to be remembering now, geeks, he was in Clash of the Titans. And I believe he was the one who cut off the head of Medusa.
Also, Mario Lopez.
Mario Lopez. You know, that's when you can't quite get Dustin Diamond.
I thought he was on some program with Dick Clark.
Oh, yeah. What was that hideous... I'm sorry.
It was like the male version of The View.
Yes. Oh, wait. We don't work for Fisher anymore. Screw them. It's a terrible program. It was on K2.
That was so uncomfortable.
Is it still on?
Well, Dick Clark isn't available at the moment to do daytime TV. So I would say that the answer is no.
I forgot.
Is that true?
He's not available. I mean, I guess he doesn't really have any choice. They can put him on now. What's he going to do about it? Let me go.
He probably called on Ryan Seacrest to replace him like everything else.
Seacrest...
come on, Rick.
What are you going to do?
I can't remember who else was on that.
It was Mario. It was Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It was Booba Shabaya. Yeah. It was Dick Clark. Do you remember how, like, there was... Now, maybe I'm putting this together incorrectly in my head. Let's recap here. Tim and I used to, as did Sarah, we used to work for a company called Fisher Communications.
Ding.
And when we were over on KOTK 1080, which no longer exists, and Tim and I had a little prep area where we would work on the program, and there was a television there, and Tim would, you know, just sort of scan the TV for news and just see what was on. And it was on K2 for reasons that I can't really remember.
Yeah.
I think it's because we would watch the morning so-called news there and wonder about whether what's-her-name was pregnant or just large. And anyway, and so then... So then, though, the View would air, I think, and then this terrible program would air after The View, and it was like a male version of The View, but it really wasn't a male version of The View. Really, like, Tom Likas is a male version of The View. This was a male, this was like, it was four guys sitting around, and you know what it was? It wasn't how men talk. It was how, like, women would like to think that men talk when they're not around. It was how women like to think that men discuss things when there are no women in the room. It was a complete female projection fantasy of what guys in a room really talk like. Totally neutered, uninteresting.
I can't remember what the name of the show was.
I can't, but it was Dick Clark. And now, correct me if I'm wrong here, though. Dick Clark, Danny Bonaducci, and now for the first week or so, wasn't there a black man? And then they got rid of him and brought in Mario Lopez?
That may be true. I don't remember that far back.
I'm thinking that's how it is. Well, it's like with Queer Eye. Do you remember how in Queer Eye, for like one episode, there was some guy, and then he was gone, and you never saw him again?
Oh, yeah.
What was that guy's name? Because Jay is the one who replaced him.
Yeah.
No, we've gone from talking about Shane McGowan's teeth to a program no one watches to Queer Eye. So this is, for like 1 week, there was this man on whatever this.
Well, he was on for the pilot. And by the time they got around to releasing the show, he had gone on to other things.
Now, are we talking about Queer Eye now or the Dick Clark show?
Queer Eye.
Yeah, so I can, but the same thing happened with this Dick Clark show. There was a man, and I believe he was a black man, and I believe he was a doctor. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, like, hello, I am Dr. Bubishabaya, or whatever. And then, but then it's like after two episodes, inexplicably, he was gone. And it was like one of those, like when you watch some sitcoms and there's like a kooky neighbor, but then the focus group doesn't like him. And so the next episode, the neighbor is gone.
Then they bring in a child to adopt.
Totally. The neighbor.
Nobody else cares about.
The neighbor is gone. The husband's profession has changed. They've got a second child. There's a dog and the wife no longer works at home.
The adoption occurs with no problem during the commercial break.
Exactly. Booba Shabaya. Bacardi Limon. Let's see. What are we
doing? Do you want to know the name of the show?
Yes.
The Dick Clark, yes.
It was The Other Half.
That doesn't even sound familiar, really?
Yeah. It could have been.
I guess it could have been. The show made no impact on my brain at all. I can't even really remember who was on it, except that Mario Lopez was on there. Mario Lopez, who was from Saved by the Bell. So, okay. So the Saved by the Bell, there's four kids that have come out of that program, right? There's Elizabeth Berkley, Dustin Diamond, Mario Lopez, and Tiffany Thiessen.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever happened to Zach? Where's that guy at? Whoever that kid is that played Zach.
No, he went on to some cop show.
Actually, Brad the car guy is really good friends with him.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What is
his name? I'm spacing on. Oh, Mark Paul Gosselaar. Is that who you're talking about?
What is he doing now, do you suppose? What is he doing that he would be in contact with Brad the car guy?
I guess they're friends from.
Working at a hubcap convention or something?
Yeah, I've seen. He actually has his phone number in his phone. I was really tempted to call.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody here have anybody high profile in your phone?
Just Art Alexakis.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, see, I don't have Art Alexakis in my phone. I got Tom Likas in my phone. And Storm. That's about it. See, I'm not really a player.
Storm too.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this?
This is because it's interesting. And because I got this new phone, the new phone is, it's great, but it has a lot of, hidden key combinations that you don't really know about. Like, you know, I don't read the whole book. I just read the quick start guide. And I'll find out that a button combination does something when I sit on the phone by mistake, and then suddenly it's, you know, now filming full video and set to self-destruct mode. I'm like, whoa, you know. Can I just tell you this? Sometimes I'm afraid that I'll sit down on my phone wrong and call Tom Likas. And then he'll just be all pissed off, you know? Like, hello, who is this? You know, it's like, I'm sorry, you know, and then he'll have to hate me forever. So.
That's a strange fear.
It is a bizarre fear. Jim, hello.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What's up, brother?
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. The bald guy, what was he chanting over and over again when he plucked out the guy's still beating heart?
I don't know.
Boobum Shabaya.
Really?
Yep.
Is that like in When We Were Kings when they're going Ali Boumaye?
Yes. Exactly what he was chanting was Boobum Shabaya.
That's fantastic. Really? That's so great. So I wonder if someone, because Clyde is claiming that at his place of work, they had a client named Booba Shabaya. And so my question is that an extant, you know, is that an existing Name is, I don't even know what language that is. Now, is that an existing name, or did someone out there name their child after a heart, after a chant given by a witch doctor in an Indiana Jones movie?
That would be even cooler than what I thought it was, if somebody just put down a fictitious name on some random form.
No, it'd be so great if somebody named their child after the chant given before they pull out the guy's beating heart in Temple of Doom. That would be fantastic.
Perfect.
All right, thank you, Jim.
Right on, brother.
All right, there you go. Booba Shabaya. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, speaking of The Simpsons, as we were a few minutes ago, The Simpsons have been banned from primetime television in China.
Boom!
The move was made in an attempt to eliminate competition with the country's less popular animation studios.
That's the spirit. If you can't beat The Simpsons, just have them banned.
In addition, China's ruling Communist Party is said to be concerned about the effects of foreign culture on children.
It's all about the children. China is such a mystery to me. I don't understand how that country works, because on the one hand, they ban The Simpsons, but then on the other hand, like I was reading today, like everybody over there has Blackberries, you know, like the little the handheld internet things.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's like, what if you if you're in China, like what can you possibly use a Blackberry for if you're in China? I mean, what is it? What can you access with that? Because then the government, I mean, it's like the government really doesn't let you see the internet, right?
No. Not very much.
Is that just to get messages from your glorious leader? Is that what that is?
I suppose.
Let's check the weather today. The glorious leader says it will be beautiful in China, as it is every day. All right. Great. I mean, I guess that's what it is. I can't imagine what you would even use a BlackBerry for if you lived in the People's Republic of China. Huh.
All also right. Being removed are Japan's Pokemon and Mickey Mouse cartoons. Teletubbies is likely to be affected as well.
Okay.
Huh. Well, we aren't saying she's a gold digger, but Kanye West is far from broke. And now, far from single, the six-time Grammy Award-winning rapper slash producer...
That is the worst written opening sentence to a story ever. It doesn't even make any sense.
It's from E! Online.
It only makes half sense if you know the song, but even then, the rhyme and the cadence is all screwed up.
I know.
So, all right. Anyway, so what?
He has popped the question to his girlfriend, Alexis.
Uh-huh.
The tales are sketchy.
Okay.
The Jesus Walks MC reportedly proposed during a recent two-hour overseas vacation. Oh, a two-week-long overseas vacation. But it's not exactly known where or when the knee bending went down or when... This is stupid.
There you go. That is some truth. Attention, Dan. Like, can I see that for a second?
Sure.
Like, that's fantastic. Where you just pull the ripcord about a page. And anyway, this is... Screw this. We need to get the sound of a shredder, or get an actual shredder. We should have a shredder in a corner and then mic it, and then just and then shred things that displease us.
That displeased me immensely. I think somebody's trying to be clever. We've seen the writings and audition tapes of people with similar writing ability.
Is this your thing where, like, every day now you got to mention that?
No.
We'll talk about that in a second, by the way, because I got an email about that. Kanye West engaged. We ain't saying she's a gold digger. And then, like, that makes sense, right, if you know the song.
Yeah.
Because that's the first half of a chorus. Mm-hmm. And then they just complete... But Kanye West is far from broke. Like, it makes no sense. It's completely retarded. And now, far from single, the six-time Grammy-winning rapper-producer has popped the question to his girlfriend.
I mean, it makes you feel like a TV reporter reading a teleprompter.
It's true. Details are sketchy. Likewise, the future Mrs. West is something of a mystery. We don't know her last name, age, or occupation. But West and his... Listen to this. West and his fiancée, Reek... West, this is... You're right. This is terribly written. There's all kinds of bizarre grammar that's...
Yeah.
West and his fiancée rekindled her romance with the hip-hopster... Oh, really? This just in, your dad writes for People magazine.
No, that's an 18-year-old intern.
A hip-hopster. The couple dated for several years with Alexis by his side. Oh, that's when he had that rack. And oh, listen to this. The thing is, Kanye West said, I've always had a girlfriend. Okay. I'm not even
really?
Gonna...
Really?
I'm just reading it.
All right, no, but really?
I'm just saying.
You might even back that up.
Well, I'm saying, you know what it is? It's like, you know, everybody's got their own personal style. It's like some guys wear turtlenecks. Some guys decide to, you know, they get a mohawk. Some guys grow a beard.
I'm going to do some research on that.
I'm just saying. Like Fidel Castro. He has a beard.
And some just proposed to them?
I see, that's one step. See why you gotta do that. It's like one step too far. See, I'm trying to be all subtle. And then Sarah just, bam! Speaking of bam, did anybody watch Entourage last night? Well, you didn't, because
yes.
You're not, did you?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't watch it last night, but I got all the way up through Vegas. With the whole fight with Seth Green.
Okay.
And that thing that came out of his mouth, my God, you were right. That was just wrong.
All right. We should break. When we come back, we'll talk about, let's see, what are we doing? We come back, Entourage. Gary Baumgarten from New York City. Tim Riley at the City Desk.
And without promising anything, we're actually getting through the entire stack today.
I've learned that's my new,
This is it. This is it. It's almost over.
This is my new approach. You know, because if you try and fail, it's depressing. So the moral is don't try. And attempt nothing. And have no dreams or hopes. All right. Back after this, Gary Baumgarten, Tim Riley. We'll talk about Entourage. Don't go anywhere.